The recent death of Pope Francis I has been the big news of late. Not exactly surprising because he was quite sick in the past couple of months and many feared the worst. But the actual moment came rather suddenly, so I guess it was surprising in part. Francis's papacy was novel for a couple of reasons. To start with, he was the first Latin American-born pope. He was from Argentina. He was the first pope, in fact, from any part of the American continent. And he was the first non-European pope in 1300 years. In addition to that, he was also the first Jesuit pope. Which is also kind of surprising when you think about it. You think about the influence the Jesuits have had in the church over the centuries. He was also known as a fairly liberal and open-minded pope, as far as popes go, which was welcome among many who looked for the church to take on new paths toward modernizing. Especially in terms of tolerance and acceptance and equality, while other more conservative members of the church were suspicious of his policies. And that brings us to the next question: who and what kind of pope will be in the future of the papacy? And with his passing, we will be heading into a new stage, the next stage. And I guess the question is, will we be staying in the same direction as the papacy has been going in the last 10 years or so? Will it become even more liberal or more conservative? And with that, we are thinking about the next stage, the future, and that will come when the decision-making process begins in a few days, as opposed to other times when they've had the conclaves and they've had to vote for the next pope. There are a number of candidates who will be considered, a rather larger number. It seems as if the field is quite wide open. This time around, there doesn't seem to be any Spaniards in the running. There hasn't been one for a long time, which is in its own way somewhat surprising considering the importance Spain traditionally has in the Catholic Church and how important the Catholic Church has been for Spain. Just four cardinals, as we speak, are eligible, of which one is not even attending for health reasons, and none of the others are considered to be serious choices. Spain, in fact, since the founding of the Church, has supplied very few popes. And just like anything regarding this country's history, it seems like no one completely agrees on some of the basic facts, like just how many popes were Spanish, for example. For sure, we can say that there were two popes who were 100% Spanish, and then there are two others that some lists include and others don't. We'll tell you about them too and let you decide. Now, the first one that we're going to mention goes all the way back to the 4th century AD. His name was Damasus, and he reigned as Pope from 366 to 382, which was a pretty long time back then. These were turbulent times for early Christianity, as different communities were looking for different ways to look at this relatively young religion. And these differences often ended up being considered heresies. Anyway, Damasus was behind the determining of what would be the official sacred scripture, and that's still pretty much true to this day. He was also known for promoting the writing and publication of the Vulgate Bible, a work which was completed by Saint Jerome. Now, for our purposes, we want to know whether he was Spanish or not. And the claim is somewhat flimsy for a couple of reasons. First of all, no one knows for sure where he was born. Some mention a town in Madrid, believe it or not. Others argue it was Rome itself. But it seems most likely he was born in Portugal, the north of Portugal, not far from northwest Spain, in a region known as Galicia. It is true back then that the region was called Galicia, which was much larger than it is today. So technically, that could be seen as Spain, since Galicia turned into Galicia. But the fact is, it really is what would be present-day Portugal. And even if we were talking about a land or some town that actually to this day forms a part of Spain, let's be honest with ourselves because back then this was the Roman Empire and in no way resembled Spain as a modern nation. So for a lot of reasons, I think it would be careless to make that claim that he was a Spanish pope. And so nearly 1100 years would go by before a true Spanish pope would be named. We are talking about Calixtus III. Calixtus was born in Játiva back in 1378 near Valencia, and his birth name was Alfonso de Borja. Now, if that name sounds a little familiar to you, it might be because there's a relationship between that and Borgia, the infamous Borgias. That family is not originally Italian, but Spanish, which surprises so many people. But one of the most notorious Italian families, so to speak, was actually Spanish. Borja, the name, probably refers to the town that is in the region of Zaragoza in Aragon, which was further to the north, which is probably where that family originally came from before it moved to Valencia and then moved over to Italy and became so influential there. In 1455, now in 1455, after the death of Pope Nicholas V, the conclave gathered and tried to name a new pope, but they struggled with it and it sort of reached a stalemate. The most powerful families in Rome at the time were able to get enough votes to win. So the solution was to choose a transitional candidate with some pretty specific traits. Old age, neutrality, and a real zeal, a real gusto for the Crusades. And our friend Alfonso de Borja met all three. He was elected Pope on April 8th, 1455. Calixto reigned just for a few years. Remember, he was quite old when he was elected and died in 1458. His papacy focused on three main objectives: opposition to the Turks, the defense of Italy's political balance, and the consolidation of papal authority in the papal states. The first major act was to call for a new crusade and to pour all his efforts into that. His excitement, his enthusiasm didn't last long, though, as I said, as he died just 3 years later. However, with his brief papacy, he helped to place his family, the Borgias, into key positions of power. And that would be very influential when it comes to our next Spanish pope, his nephew, Rodrigo, who would rise to power as the pope in 1492. Rodrigo would become Pope Alexander VI, and he would serve as pope for 11 years until 1503. He was famous for his controversial and ambitious rule. He sought to strengthen his family's power elevating the Borgias into one of Italy's most influential dynasties. His papacy was marked by political intrigue, lavish displays of wealth, and accusations of corruption and nepotism, and even some fairly well-known moral indecency, especially coming from a pope. From a political standpoint, his primary goal was to turn his family into one of Italy's great families, great dynasties, great houses. Pope Alexander is almost synonymous with scandals. Here are a few key details. Nepotism, he openly favored his children, especially Caesar Borgia and Lucrezia, giving them powerful political positions. Caesar was made a cardinal at a very young age and then led military campaigns. Lucrezia was involved in strategic marriages to secure the family's influence. Financial corruption. Alexander VI was notorious for selling church offices. It was a practice known as simony to raise money for his political and personal projects. I mean, this was basically sort of grifting, as we call it today. Wealth and favors often determined promotions within the church during his reign. He also fathered several children while a cardinal and as a pope had mistresses, something that was publicly known and criticized by many. His court was infamous for these big, lavish, opulent banquets, some allegedly quite scandalous. He used alliances, betrayals, and wars to strengthen the Borgia family's control over different parts of Italy, often switching sides when it served his interests. And these are the type of things that you probably saw in the series and the Borgia. I've actually never seen it, I gotta be honest with you. I'll have to check it out someday. Anyway, and yet as Pope, he also focused on other positive things, at least some people feel that way, on strengthening the army, but beautifying the Eternal City, supporting poets and Italian artists. Alexander expanding the reach of religious orders, Catholic influence abroad. One thing he also did, he was very famous for and was very important, was endorsing the Treaty of Tordesillas, which was that famous treaty that divided the New World between Spain and Portugal. That was not a decision that had been made by those two. They didn't really bother asking what the other countries thought about that. But anyway, it did have an influence on the Spanish and Portuguese, especially linguistically speaking, makeup. Even today, his death in 1503 ended one of the most, well, I guess you could say, colorful and controversial papacies in church history. It's certainly one of those papacies where they, if you think of the scandals and all that sort of stuff, that the bad reputation that the popes would have, a lot of times what comes to mind are the many different scandals and acts and antics and behavior of Alexander VI. That's really embodies everything which was seemingly bad about the papacy. And then finally, we have this pope known as the anti-pope. The anti-pope sounds rather dramatic and even apocalyptic. But all it means is a person who claims to be the Pope, but that designation was not accepted by the Catholic Church, the official institution. There have been a surprisingly high number of anti-popes throughout history, even though the last one was all the way back in the 15th century. Anyway, there were over 40 in all who have disputed the title. In this case, we are talking about Pope Benedict XIII, also known as Papa Luna or Pope Luna. Some people say Moon Pope or the Moon Pope, but that's not really a good translation because we're just talking about the Pope's name, his last name. He was born Pedro Martinez de Luna. Okay, he was definitely Spanish, no question about that. But was he definitely a pope? There are plenty of questions about that. Pope Benedict was a Spanish cleric who played a central role during the Western Schism, the Great Schism, a time when the different popes or rival popes claimed legitimacy. He was a highly educated and skilled lawyer from the Crown of Aragon. He was elected pope in 1394 by the Avignon-based College of Cardinals, continuing the Avignon papacy as Benedict XIII. This is what I was telling you about because the schism had taken place before he rose to power. Now, despite mounting political pressure and efforts to reunify the church under one pope, at one point we actually had three, he refused to abdicate even when most of Europe, including France and Spain, withdrew their support of him. There's actually an expression in Spanish to say mantenerse en sus trece, which means maintain in one's 13, and that means to be very stubborn, to be very determined to stick to your decision is or what your beliefs are, and to not give in. And it's a pretty common Spanish expression, and they say that number 13 refers to Benedict XIII, who refused to abdicate. He also was very intellectual, but he was more and more isolated by the end of his reign. He ended up in the fortress of a coastal town in the north of the region of Valencia, in the province of Castellón, a very pretty town known as Peníscola. It's almost like Pensacola. I highly recommend you visit that place one time. And where he continued to claim the papacy until his death. Though officially deemed an anti-pope by the Catholic Church, Benedict XIII maintained a loyal following. In fact, he's still quite important in certain ways to this day. Just a few years ago, in 2018, there was a call to reinstate him as a genuine pope, but nothing has come of it yet. So to sum up, we have Damasus I, who was born most likely in Portugal, but possibly in present-day Galicia, but during the Roman Empire, so he probably wasn't Spanish. And then next in the timeline, we have Benedict XIII, the anti-pope, definitely Spanish-born. Pope, not really. In his mind, he was, but in the minds of many others, he wasn't. Then we have Calixtus or Calixto III, definitely Spain-born, a legitimate pope, and the same goes for Alexander VI. So we'll have to let our listeners give their thoughts and try to weigh in on this matter. And that'll be all for today's podcast, brought to you by Brian Spain Domain. Please feel free to leave us any comments because we love the feedback. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, and Castos. Or if you wish to support Brian Spain Domain, we'd greatly appreciate it. We work very hard to provide you with the best information about Spain, Spanish history, and Spanish culture. Our podcasts are free, so you can enjoy them, but we welcome listeners to support us if they wish. You can do so by clicking on our PayPal donate button, or if you want to have access to absolutely all of our podcasts and support us regularly, you can check us out on Patreon at the link provided below. Stay well, stay safe, and hasta pronto.